Our scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it any infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy their work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words, truth that can be trusted. I would invite you to be with me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for how you are at work. We're grateful for your presence here, for a sustaining presence of your Holy Spirit, and indeed, how you are speaking and creating even at this very moment. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and love. And it's through Christ that we pray. Amen. It's a story of Olli and Inga. And they live in Minnesota. And Olli and Inga are having their morning coffee. And Inga notices that Olli is kind of discouraged. And she says, "What's the matter, Olli?" And Olli says, "Well, Inga, let me tell you something. I'm really, really hot under the collar. That doggone Clarence across the river, I think the next time I see him, I'm going to punch him in the nose. In fact, I'm going to head over there right now and punch that doggone bugger in the nose." And Inga couldn't stop Olli because he was hard-headed. I don't know if anybody here knows anything about that. So he headed down the hill, trudged through the snow, and it was kind of snowy and cold that day. It is Minnesota, after all. And he got to the bridge, and he saw a sign, and he stopped in his tracks. Now, he was really steamed, and he was really, you know, he was really frustrated at this guy for things that he'd done to him in the past. And yet, as soon as he saw that sign, he stopped in his tracks. He whirled around and headed back up to the house through that snow and that cold and that ice. And Inga was somewhat surprised, and she said, "Well, Olli, why are you back so soon?" And Olli said, "Well, I went down to that bridge, and it said Clarence, 8 feet 6 inches, and I didn't realize it was that big." It's old. You've heard it before. It's amazing the amount of energy that people put in to holding grudges. Amazing I would say to you this morning that if we were able to channel that energy that we put into grudges into building God's kingdom, wow. You talk about conversions, you talk about people being saved, you talk about lives being changed, you talk about people being fed, people being housed, people being healthy. Amazing things could happen. But you know what? Holding on to that grudge, boy, it's like getting that popcorn kernel caught in your teeth, you know? It's right there, and you floss, and you think everything's good, then all of a sudden, the next morning, it's still there. In fact, I got one right... No, I don't got one right now. The Scripture speaks today, actually, about holy amnesia. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, that term. Holy amnesia. What happens here, and the Scripture passage tells us of this, is that there's a whole new kind of creation. And it comes about because the old has been forgotten. God is creating something new. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to lay some things that you've been carrying, that have been gnawing at you before God, and really leave them there? Not pick them up again? God's going to be able to handle it a lot more. And yet, you know, whenever we let those things gnaw at us, we're kind of like Oli. We start heading out, ready for bear. Then something turns us around in our tracks. Or maybe we go through the plan, and then even more problems ensue. Whenever it's our plan rather than God's plan, inevitably that's the case. A forgetting, a holy amnesia, a moving on. That's required for us to truly participate in building God's kingdom. Because if we are people of resentment rather than people of the resurrection, then we're not offering the world anything different, are we? We're simply building on the things that are found in the world. Resentment, hatred, pettiness, gossip. When those happen in the church, it's no longer a church, it's a club. And we are called to look ourselves in the mirror and say, am I participating in that? Is that my stewardship? Is that what I'm offering to the church? For us, we understand as God's people that God creates, and in creating, He reconciles, and in reconciling us to Him, He sustains us. The people who heard the prophet, and in this particular era of time, there had been incredible disarray. There had been dispersion, a loss of homeland. And so for the people to be able to hear these words from this section, this last major section of Isaiah, that would have been astounding. To hear that people in their society would have enough food, that people in their society would have decent housing, that there would no longer be disease and illness in old age, and children would be healthy and grow to adulthood as well. See, those things didn't exist in that day and age. I guess whenever we think about it, there's still challenges today, aren't they? So what can we learn from these words of the prophet? What can we learn today? What can we pull from them? Well, we understand that Yahweh, our Creator, will answer even before we call Him. In other words, he is at work. And Yahweh is in the business of recreating. Yahweh is in the business of kingdom building. When Jesus got here in an earthly form, one of the first things he said was, "I have come to declare the kingdom of God is at hand." In other words, he was seeking to create a transformed people who in turn will live in a transformed world. This doesn't mean that bad things will never happen again, here and now. But in the New Jerusalem, in the end times, when Christ comes again, certainly death will be completely conquered and sin will be no more. We understand that. In heaven, that's the way it is right now. What an amazing thing to have to think about, to try to think about, to have to bear and carry as a message to the world. Whenever people come to us and they know that we're Christians and they say, "Well, why did this happen? Or why did that happen? Or why did God let that happen?" And sometimes the best response is just simply to allow them to speak. Because you know what? Maybe they haven't said that. Maybe that's at the deepest recesses of their soul, and they've carried that inside. And while they might not consider themselves a believer, they're thinking about it, okay? I don't believe that there's any such thing as an atheist. I'll say that to you right now. I don't believe it. I believe that everybody is at some point of searching along the journey, some place. And if they have an opportunity to be able to share something, and if we have that privilege of being there in that place whenever they're sharing it, sometimes the best thing to do is simply to receive it. And then maybe offer to pray with them. Or just simply say, "God is still at work in your life, and nothing will stop that." This is a message of hope. I think you got that, right? Yeah. These words that our sister in Christ read are messages of hope. And whenever we, as we've been talking the past couple of weeks about God having the final answer, we can understand that that's hope. God's final answer is a message of hope, not a message of destruction, not a message of death, not a message of pain, but rather of hope and promise. John Wesley, who some would say is the founder of the United Methodist Church, I would say he's not. He was actually a reformer of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, and out of his work, Methodism arose. It was more of a movement rather than a church. He never really actually wanted to start a whole church. Oops. We're here anyways, huh? John Wesley, though, and I encourage you to read more about him, was a great preacher, tireless worker, a pastor who traveled by horseback across the countryside. Don't get any ideas. I rode a horse one time, and his name was Old Chief. And he knew the trail better than I did, but that's another story for another sermon. John Wesley was very much about kingdom building. And in the England of his day, there was child labor, there was slavery. And out of him taking the message out into a world that was very dark and bleak and hurt and broken, and not being dissuaded by that, but rather continuing to push forward into that world, what Wesley did with his message of God's grace, with his message of God's grace for each and every person, with his message of hope, of the promise of resurrection, and also God's creative power in each and every person's life, what happened was that eventually child labor laws were enacted, and also slavery was abolished by one of Wesley's followers, Wilberforce, who was prime minister. There are countless examples throughout history of individuals that have stepped into the void, stepped into a world that is broken, and said, this is not the final answer. This is not God's final answer for this world. This is not it. God's not done with us. The question is, what are we doing to encourage that kingdom today? How are we stepping out into the world that needs this kind of message of hope that we heard today? How are we stepping out into that world and sharing it and witnessing to our faith in whatever words God gives us? Each of us can be sharing it in a unique way and in a different way, certainly. I'm not going to give you the words to share, but nonetheless, you do have something to share. If you claim that name of Christ, you have something to share. Isn't that good? Let me read you some more words of hope. Revelation chapter 21, the end of the Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. What is God capable of? Anything. What is God doing? Everything. Is God at work right now at this very split second? Yes. That, my friends, is hope. That, my friends, is the truest thing that we have. And that, my friends, is what we are called to share with a world desperately in need of hope. We are people of resurrection. We are people who this New Jerusalem speaks to, because we know that God is not finished with us yet, nor is He finished with His world yet, nor His church. But how are we participating in that creation? Are we allowing our resentments, past hurts, narrow-mindedness, lack of courage, lack of faith to step forward? Or are we simply saying, Lord, Thy will be done? Not saying it in rote like the Lord's Prayer, but simply saying, but truly saying, Thy will be done. I am a person of hope. You are a person of hope. And when we say God's will be done, Thy will be done, what we're saying is you are in charge and you're not finished yet. What an awesome truth that is. I would invite you in our time of discipleship to take a few moments and to simply think about that truth. God is not done yet. What have you been carrying that has blocked God working through you? What have you been carrying in your heart that has kept you from truly being completely open to God? Lay that before God right now and receive in return hope, grace, love. And as you receive that, simply say, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Praise God. Praise God Almighty that He's not finished yet. Be with me in prayer.